Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergence zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show. Hello, friends. Welcome to today's show. Thank you for making time to listen and be here. I am Molly McCord, your hostess for this broadcast. I am an author, an intuitive, an astrologer, and a teacher, and I am so happy to be doing this work. This show is bringing together people from all over the world and from different spiritual paths and on different parts of their journey, and it's an honor that you're here. I hear from you, and I appreciate all of your words. Today's show was a little bit unexpected. It's actually a follow-up to last week's show, which was about soulmates, twin flames, and kindred spirits. I'm going to group these all together and call them soul relationships. Today's show is going to follow up with some more information that came through about these topics. I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. I wasn't expecting to do a second show on this, but I have a feeling that there could be more shows to come because we have lots of questions around relationships, and there's lots of healing information that we can absorb and incorporate to make this part of our lives more smooth, I want to say. There's a lot of healing that goes on within our relationships, and we can make it a very joyful process along the way. So I'm going to talk to you about that. In the second part of the show, I'm going to talk about Mercury retrograde in Leo. And I'm going to preface this topic by telling you that I have a very different viewpoint on Mercury retrograde than I would say most of the population. We hear all about the fears and the oh no's and the back up your computer, be careful when you drive, be careful about travel. We hear all that stuff. All those messages when Mercury goes retrograde. I mean, raise your hand. You might not know anything about astrology, but you know Mercury retrograde, and you've been taught that it's something to fear. This is true for so many people. And I'm going to tell you, in a very blunt way, no, we don't have to think of it that way. We don't have to have that interpretation of Mercury retrograde. I'm going to share with you some conscious insights about how to reframe the energy of that. We can redefine the energy around anything, including how we experience and interpret the effects of astrology. So I have some information to share with you that I think is going to be very beneficial and helpful, and I hope that you will join me in increasing a new definition and understanding of Mercury retrograde. You know, even just last week I got an email from a spiritual teacher who I really like, and this email came out and it was almost like this SOS distress signal to all of a sudden be fearful around a planet in the sky turning reverse. And, you know, throughout the year, almost every planet is reversed, is in retrograde at some point. Some of Venus is every 18 months, Mars is every 2 years. They have different cycles, but there's typically always a planet in the sky that is retrograde, but we don't hear about that until Mercury goes retrograde, and it creates all of this fear. And I want to change that, and I would love your help if you would be interested in perpetuating a new definition. So we're going to talk about that in the second half. You can probably hear from my voice that I have passion around that. I do. And then the other little announcement I want to share is that coming up in the middle of August, there's going to be a really fabulous event. Online, anywhere in the world, you can tune in and participate. This is just a teaser because I don't have information to share with you just yet. I'm just giving you a heads up because I'm very excited about what is coming together. There's a lot of amazing people who are contributing to this event, and I think you're going to get a lot of benefit and value from their wisdom. So I'm just putting a teaser out there. I am going to follow up with more information. Be sure to get on my email list on consciouscoolchic.com. That way you'll be one of the first to know. So August 14th, 15th, and 16th are the dates. You will get more information, and that's all I'm going to say because, again, I feel passionate about that and I can just keep talking, but it's too soon, too soon. I am very peppy today because I had a really beneficial acupuncture exam. I love my acupuncturist. She's amazing. I've been feeling a lot of different energies coming through me, and I just needed some release points to physically work with it. My upper back, like by my shoulder blades, have been very, crackly, and I've been stretching them a lot. This is part of our upper heart chakra, the upper back. It works with the heart chakra, and because there's lots of heart openings happening right now, we can feel that in our physical body. I've also had ankles cracking and needing a lot of movement. My ankles have been requiring a lot of attention, which is so funny. I'll be on the treadmill or something at the gym, and I have to just stop and stretch and pay attention to my ankles. This is part of grounding that's going on right now. So we have to keep listening to our bodies and looking at where our attention is being drawn to with them. And acupuncture is helping me with that. So I hope that if you're needing any types of physical assistance right now with energy, that you have some good resources. I love my acupuncturist, like I said, and it's been really wonderful. So I'm extra peppy today because of that. So let's dive into today's topic. Last week, I shared with you guided downloads, I call them, about soulmates, twin flames, and kindred spirits. Thursday morning, about 30 minutes before I woke up, before I was officially 100% conscious, I had another download with all this information coming in, and it was everything was composed of questions. And one of my intuitive abilities is that I'm clairaudient, which means I hear information. As the skill has grown and been developed in me, I hear more and more information as it comes in. My guides speak to me through songs. Maybe you've heard of this before, but I'll have a song randomly appear in my head, and I'll have to listen to the lyrics to figure out what the message is, or sometimes it's very clear and I know exactly what the message is. Other times I'll send an email and I can hear someone's response, or I will hear conversations that are happening. It's not all the time, but it's interesting how this ability gets highlighted for certain conversations and discussions and issues. So when I was waking up Thursday morning, I was hearing all these questions. And what I was hearing was what listeners had responded to and what they were saying about last week's show, as well as some emails and Facebook questions that I received. So all this information came in Thursday morning. I ran downstairs to my computer and I typed everything in. I didn't even have coffee yet. So you know I was very determined to make sure and document all of this. And I wrote down every question that was coming through so that I could expand on what we talked about and what we reviewed last week. There was a lot of information in last week's show, so I'm not going to be able to dive into it because then it would be too repetitious. I consider that show to be the 101 version, we'll call it, and then this is the 201 version of that information. The information that came through was essentially questions about relationships. And for example, does everyone have soulmates? Does everyone have a twin flame? Does everyone have kindred spirits? What is the point of these relationships? What if I don't have a twin flame? What if I don't find a kindred spirit? So there's also some fears that came up, and the idea that some people have certain things, other people don't have these same relationships, and I sense a lot of evaluation, fear, self-judgment, and doubt. Relationships are so important to us in our world. I mentioned before how we identify with our relationships, and they identify us. You know, we think about our family relationships and our friendships and our romantic relationships and those we know in our careers, and how all these relationships are give and take, and they bring something into our lives, and we bring something into their lives. It's a back and forth exchange of energy. And so we also have certain expectations of relationships and what we should experience to be normal. And I hope you notice my emphasis on certain words there. Should experience to be normal. We have a formula, really, about how our lives should unfold and what relationships come in at certain stages in our lives. And so when I've tapped into this understanding and what these relationships are about, the messages are so clear. They're so clear, and they're so filled with love, and I really want to communicate how love-based this message is, which is that each of us has our own soul story. You have your own soul story. It's beyond your country, your family, your culture, your nation, your location. It's beyond your gender. It's beyond any job title or anything that has a label. Your soul story, I'm getting chills, is so powerful and so divine. It was divinely created with so much love behind it. Very powerful intentions are guiding every soul story. Your soul story is not duplicated or replicated, regardless of what we have created to be normal, quote-unquote, in our world. Creating a standard and generalizing and making something a normal experience has served a very good purpose for us. There is a reason why we need that, and it's been, you could look at it biologically, is to reproduce as humans. But the idea is also it's been to create a path for human growth. That has been one of the main components of relationships, is that it keeps us moving forward and keeps us motivated because we have that yearning to connect, that yearning to be with another and to merge on some levels. But when you take away that formula and you understand that your soul story is bigger and huge and so expansive, it's that it's beyond one experience as a human or one relationship, you start to see more and more and more love everywhere, and that everything originates from love and returns to love, and that your soul story is part of that ebb and flow. So as I said, we have our soul stories that are not duplicated or replicated by anyone else or any other soul, but we have similar overlapping themes and paths that may cross. Now think of like a zigzag or like a meandering path that comes and goes, and you meet up with some people and then you separate and you come back together and you meet new souls. This is where our souls have commonalities. And it's also where the soulmates, twin flames, and kindred spirits come in and assist with that return to greater love. With last week's show, I shared a lot about my own experiences, and those parts of that may connect with you and parts of that may not be related to your soul story at all. So this is where I really want to emphasize the importance of trusting yourself. For so long, we've looked for other people to guide us to our own answers and to our own validation. But this is a time when you give your validation to yourself and you connect with your own inner wisdom and your own knowingness. And there are many emerging teachers right now who are going to remind you about that. It's funny, I wasn't anticipating going into this, but when you are connecting with your soul story, there are other souls who understand that and see that in you and want you to do that. They want you to be a beautiful, shining person connected to your soul. And it isn't about buying a product or doing something for them. It's about this innate desire to empower you. And so as I'm speaking about these different types of relationships, it's from a place of empowering you to remember what is true for you and your soul. Some information is going to connect and it's going to hit an intuitive nerve where you're going to say, oh, yes, that's definitely true for me. And some of that won't connect because it's not part of your soul story or your experience right now. And that is also perfect and divine, because you could be hearing this information so that when you have a conversation with someone next week or next month, they are looking for this information and you can pass it on to them. Isn't that great? I've noticed that in my own life, that I'll listen to something and think, well, that's not connecting with me, and then I'll come across someone who needed that information. So I got a little off track here, but I feel like that's very important, especially around these topics of relationships, because they can be very consuming, and they take up a lot of our energy, because we know that on some level we are meant to connect with certain people, and there's a desire and a willingness there to really be in those relationships. And at the same time, the other gift of these relationships are the healing lessons that come up, the wounds that are revealed so they can be healed. So I want to answer some of these questions here that have come in about does everyone have soulmates? And I tuned in to my guides about this question because, I'll be honest with you, I went first to a very mental ego attitude or answer, which was immediately yes. I thought, yes, everyone has soulmates. But that, in fact, is not completely accurate. And this is what I received. Most souls do have soulmates. Yes. If you were looking for a percentage, it could be 85 to 90% of people have soulmates. That's why it's such a phenomenon. That's why it's such an idealized, romantic topic, is that so many of us have groups of souls that are our mates. And we identify with this topic because we know in our energetic layers and in our DNA memories that that is a truth for us. but not everyone has soulmates. And that's because some souls come from other energetic entities that did not require having soulmates for their healing and growth. And some souls come here because they are not, they haven't had a lot of, I want to say, human experiences. And so they haven't required other people to do their learning. They've done their learning through other energetic means. And so there's people who arrive who do not have soulmates because they did not require that as part of their soul story. And yet they could have other relationships that have helped them grow. So what I explained last week was that soulmates, twin flames, kindred spirits are different energetic connections. They are not better than another. There is no hierarchy. They all exist for different purposes. We do probably naturally go into comparison mode because that's what we're used to in our culture and in our world. But there is no comparison because we're dealing with energy. And when you're dealing with energy, there isn't it's not only apples and oranges. It's apples, oranges, kiwis, bananas, and papayas. I mean, there's just all these different forms that the energy takes. So most souls have soulmates, but not every soul has a soulmate. Also important, some chose to be here and to do their own work without soulmates. Isn't that fascinating? And so you'll find people who are very who don't believe in soulmates, who don't want to know anything about it, doesn't connect with them. And that was a soul choice that they made, that I don't want to or need to interact with other soulmates this time around. So there's numerous ways this can unfold, and it becomes quite fascinating. And this is where it comes back to your own self-knowing and self-empowerment. You will know what connects with you and what is part of your soul story. So I'm offering all these different scenarios and possibilities because it helps piece together what could be true for you. So then the next question, does everyone have a twin flame? And again, my first mental energy was yes. I went to yes. And then I said, Molly, stop. You don't know. You need to tap into something else besides your mind. And I went above to my team and I asked. I said, does everyone have a twin flame? And I was shown no. And that's because it depends on a few factors. It depends on where your soul's energy originated from. If your soul's energy comes from another domain, I'm going to call it a domain, that didn't require twin flame energy, then that would not be part of your soul story. The time in human history that your soul first arrived on Earth will also determine if you have a twin flame or not. So, for example, if you are one of the very first souls who originated on Earth, we'll call it year zero. If you were here on year zero with another being, that time on Earth had such heavy density that in order to get through it, you knew you needed a partner who could balance you out, who could help you provide perspective, move through the energies. And then there's so many possibilities after that. I mean, you could have been one of the first souls here year zero and then decided not to come back for thousands of years. Or you could have been one of the first souls here and you've been coming back repeatedly numerous thousands of times. So the idea is that when most twin flames originated, we're calling it year zero, because of what Earth's energetic density was at that time. Now, if you are a soul who came later on in time, I don't know, we'll call it year 4,000, 400,000, we'll call it year 400,000, then you may arrive on Earth for the first time and the energy had shifted and changed so drastically that you did not need a twin flame to deal and move through Earth energy at that time. Because Earth's energy has continued to evolve up, give or take some dips, when you originated here as a human, determined what you needed to be successful as a human, and that might not have included a twin flame. If you are intrigued by the concept of twin flames and that's connecting with you on some level, I would encourage you to follow that and to trust it, to explore some more information about it, because it could be that you do have an energetic memory of having a twin flame. I know that for myself, when I heard the concept, it opened up a lot of doorways for me and new energies to explore, and it really was, it helped me understand my own relationships better. If on the other hand, twin flame is not something you connect with, then it could be that that is not part of your soul story and is not part of your experience. And you did not choose that as a soul. Now the other question that came up quite a bit, does everyone have kindred spirits? So by now, okay, so when I said, does everyone have a soulmate, I thought yes, and the answer is no. Does everyone have a twin flame? I thought yes, and the answer was no. Does everyone have kindred spirits? I thought no, and the answer is yes. Yes, yes, and this just warmed my heart. I tapped into this, and I saw, wow, I can't even describe how much love I saw and how many entities and beings that surround every person. It was sort of like being in the middle of a flower, and you are the very center of that flower, and it's blossoming with all these petals, and every petal is a kindred spirit. And, oh, it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous image. So we all have kindred spirits because we all have energies that don't have karma and healing in them. We have kindred spirits that are not, that are relationships that are not rooted and circling in emotional energy. And our kindred spirits are not only in human form with us, but they are our guides and our angels and the archangels and light beings. They are a huge population that exists beyond anything we could imagine. And this, like I said, warmed my heart. I just think it's a beautiful reaffirming and confirming visual of kindred spirits and what that means. So we have numerous kindred spirits in different forms and in different relationships. It could be the person at work that you just love seeing every day. And maybe you don't know why, or maybe it doesn't feel like there's a lot of depth to that relationship, but it's just someone that is easy to be around. When we relate this to romantic partners, it's empowering because we think of, for example, a twin flame. Well, we've talked about how we think there's one twin flame for each of us. But with kindred spirits, there are multiples. And I hope that this can give you some reassurance that there isn't one way or one person to be partnered with in your life. You choose. And you choose based on your energy and how you're doing your own personal development work. Because when you're doing your own work, or you've completed your main core healing lessons and you moved on to another level of mastery, the energy shifts and you call in someone who matches that energy vibration more fully. And we are always growing. We are always learning. There's no end zone. There's no finish line. And so we always have kindred spirits available to connect with us anywhere we are on our journey. and we choose what we want, what is best for us, where we want to go with that relationship. We have multiple choices, and this is so beautiful because we can be unconsciously hooked into the idea that there's one partner for me, and I have to find her, I have to find him, I have to go out and find this person. And yes, that is one approach. But the other concept to consider is that as you are growing and evolving, you will naturally find people along your path who meet you effortlessly and who come into your world because the energetic vibrations link up. And that's what kindred spirits are about. Even if you're married, this is fascinating, this just came into my mind. Even if you're married and you've been partnered with somebody for a long time and you love them and you know that they are your marriage partner or your romantic partner, what have you, you will still meet kindred spirits of the opposite gender that will feel very familiar and comfortable and loving. And we're changing how we experience relationships so that we can include more of these relationships in our world. So we're also changing the concept of marriage and partnership and what that means and who we're committed to and what that really means. So it's an interesting time to be working with our own energy as it connects with like energy and opening up to people across the world who are of like spirit, like energy, like mind, and very, very supportive. I was really happy to get this message about kindred spirits because the resounding yes that came through was, again, so loving and so supportive. I can feel and hear how there are many going through some relationship questions right now and that it hasn't been easy. And so I'm sharing all this with you to help you see potentials on the road ahead, to help you connect with energies that feel right for you, and to help move you over some of the hurdles and through some of the dark places. Okay? The energies are so fast right now that you are incredibly supported in doing this work and in moving through whatever comes up for you. Other questions I received is, what is the point of these relationships? What is the point? And there's many answers to that. One is to, as I stated, heal karmic wounds, end outdated patterns, complete cycles of energy that you're done with. This happens by ending relationships or upgrading relationships to new levels of expression. These relationships also show us what needs our attention for our own soul's growth. They show us where we need to give to ourselves more, perhaps, instead of give to another, so it points out the imbalances. These relationships help us understand and see ourselves more fully. Relationships with others are reflections of our relationship with ourselves. So what you're seeing in someone else is connecting with a part of you. And knowing that that's a mirror image can be very, well, at first it can be, it cannot be pretty. And then you move through to see the growth and the gift in that relationship. Ultimately, though, the point of soulmates, twin flames, and kindred spirits is to return to higher sources of love within ourselves, to connect with higher levels of love. Despite our human experiences, despite the emotions, the patterns, the choices, the behaviors, we are love. We have so much love. We are composed of love. It is in ourselves, ready to be awakened more fully. And these relationships are about returning us to that source of love. Because love is not based on what we receive from another entity or another person outside of ourselves. It is within. And these soul relationships assist us in returning to that knowingness. And I feel the need to pause here for a moment. Take a deep breath to really inhale and find peace with that. That all of these relationships, again, regardless of what your human experience is with them, is about returning to your source of inner love. And as I'm saying that, I feel it really strongly in my solar plexus. I feel it very strongly there, that we are connecting with that root internal life force on a very deep level. And we have conditioned ourselves to believe that relationships are where we find love, but that is also what's expanding and growing, because we're returning to our own love within. And that's why these relationships are changing. It's also why we are looking at partnership, marriage, and commitments differently. It's because we see that there are so many ways to give love and to be love and to connect with another. The topic of marriage keeps coming up from my guides. It's interesting because I don't want it to sound as if marriage is ending, because I don't think that's true at all. It's just the understanding and definition of what we need from people is shifting. And being partnered has many rewards and is valuable. But what's changing is what we need from the partner, or what we're looking to receive and give, because we're becoming, and we are, our own entities who can give and receive that to ourselves. So I feel that there's a lot of release happening with this energy, that it's coming in a way that allows us to be more fully expansive in our ability to love and to break apart what we defined before. Okay, I'm feeling a lot of energy move right now. I'm going to take a sip of water. Okay, thank you. So I'm going to, looking at the clock here, and I want to summarize that all of these soul relationships are really truly meant to bring us back to ourselves. And we have conditioned ourselves to be looking for another person to partner with, but what we're looking for internally is our own inner partnership within. And connecting with ourselves in a new way that is supported, that is love-based, that is validating, it's affirming. It's about trusting ourselves, trusting ourselves in new ways. And this is a key component, because when you're trusting yourself, you're tapping into your internal intuition and gut feeling. But that is universal. The energy of intuition and of your gut is universal. It's a high vibrating energy that circles all around the globe. And when you tap into your inner trust, your inner knowingness, you are also tapping into the energy of the highest, one of the highest vibrations. So we are returning to this trust in ourselves, with the assistance of people who agreed to help us do that. And I feel the need to leave it there right now. To just let that be the message and to let it sit. Feel free to listen to it again, and please feel free to go back to the previous week's show if you would like some more information. My intention is to open up your own inner vault. Let's call it your inner vault, so that you understand more about your own soul stories with these relationships. And I'm going to switch gears now to talk about astrology, to talk about Mercury retrograde. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I want to start a revolution here where we redefine how we experience and think of Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde has become a phenomenon because we have contributed to the energy of what it means. So we've all come to believe, I'm generalizing, we've all come to believe that computers break down, there's travel delays, transportation issues, bad communication, and it goes on, the list goes on. And that's because we've all created this experience together, collectively. It's our understanding of what that means. Mercury the planet did not do anything. Mercury the planet did not come down here to Earth and fool around with our internets and with our cars and, you know, mess things up at the airports. The planet didn't do that. We interpreted what the planet is doing. And so I propose that we take this understanding and really look at it from a higher perspective. In general, anytime a planet goes retrograde, what we do is take the first two letters, R-E, and add those on to the beginning of a verb. So retrograde energy is about reconsidering, reorganizing, recreating, reviewing. That's what it's about. It doesn't have to mean breakdowns and chaos and catastrophe. It doesn't. And I believe what I choose to understand is that Mercury in retrograde is such a gift because Mercury is the fastest planet. It's the sprinter. The sprinter needs to take a break. And so three times a year, the sprinter pulls over to the side of the road, sits down, puts up its feet, and gets a glass of water to take a breather. So I come to view Mercury in retrograde as a time to relax, renew, take a load off, and see where you are sprinting in your life and where is a good time to just take a new breath and not feel the need to constantly move forward and to communicate and to create a lot of mental activity. This is a time to really relax. So that is how I propose we look at Mercury in retrograde and any planet in retrograde. Now, I know it's not always that simple. There are times when things go haywire and stuff happens, of course. But we can change around our understanding and decrease the levels of fear that result from this shift in the planets. And by the way, the planets don't really shift. It's just our perspective here on Earth shifts. So the planet is still going straight, but it's how we're viewing it with the different cycles and angles and such that make it appear to go backwards. And also, as I stated, every planet, except for the sun and the moon, goes backwards at some time, and it's very rare to have all the planets going forward. So consider that. It's rare for all planets to be moving forward at the exact same time. And remember it happened January 2011, and there's been other times, and I didn't think I would talk about that, so I don't have more dates for you, but it is something that's rare, and so that means we are always dealing with the energies of review, reconsider, reorganize with different planets, but we're not going into chaos about it. So please consider that. And I would love it if your energy would contribute to this new understanding. Something to talk about now, specifically with Mercury in retrograde, is the fact that it's in Leo. It went to 12 degrees of Leo and is moving back to to 1 degree of Leo. The astrological signs start at 0 degrees. So we're going all the way back to 1 degree, near the very beginning of the energy of Leo. Leo is heart energy. It's having the courage to be brave, to take a risk, to do something. It's about expressing yourself. Leo is about sharing your creativity and living what is authentically in your heart. Isn't it wonderful that we get more time to deal with this energy? This is another reason why I celebrate Mercury retrograde, because now we're given the opportunity to recreate and to reconnect with our own authenticity on a deeper level. And I actually made up a new word, a new word about Mercury retrograde in Leo, which is to re-courage. Re-courage yourself. Find a new level and depth of your own courage that allows you to share yourself. And I think that is beautiful, because we're living in a time right now that really supports our authentic expression. And Leo wants to do that. It wants to shine. It wants to be the brave, courageous light in the sky that shines a light on everyone else. That's its highest purpose, is to know that they're the stage, if you will, the stage is big enough for everyone. And I love that we are giving an opportunity now to play with that. Leo is also a very playful sign. So with Mercury in Leo retrograde, you have the opportunity to play more. And this could be internal. This is where you have your own play art studio or your inner world, where you go to express yourself and to figure out what is more you, how you want to communicate better, what you want to create that's new. It doesn't mean you necessarily take it out and share it yet, although you can, but the idea is to really be in that space that brings you joy and to connect with that on an internal level. Leo is a strong, solid fire sign, and so it will get things done. It will stick to it and make things happen. That's also great right now. I want to call out a few dates for you to mark on your calendar. So Mercury started to go retrograde July the 14th? 14th. And it's going to stay retrograde until August 8th. However, there's a few key dates here. July 29th, about 10 days, the Sun and Mercury will be conjunct in Leo at 6 degrees. This is like an amplification of the courage and authenticity and sharing yourself. Now, on one extreme, Leo can be pompous and too prideful and too arrogant and say, it's all about me and this is my show. Okay, that's the extreme. On the other side of that, it could be a deep fear around expressing yourself. It could be about withholding and being afraid to shine. That's the other extreme. But in the middle, the healthiest and highest expression of Leo is that I have something to share. I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to love it, because it's about your own heart. It connects to your own heart energy, and it comes from that place in us where we want to connect with other people by being authentically ourselves. July 29th is a powerful day for that energy. Also, what is happening at that time is there is a grand trine in fire energy. The moon is in Sagittarius, and Uranus is in Aries. Let me explain what those three energies are. When there is a grand trine in fire, it is about inspiration and spark. You have motivation, you have creativity going, you have action flowing. It's about getting something started that is creatively you and moving it and putting it out there for everyone to enjoy and everyone to benefit from. It works in this way. See, Aries is a cardinal fire sign. A cardinal means It gets something started. It's an activator. Leo is a fixed air fire sign, which means it concentrates the energy to keep the fire burning. Okay, so Aries is a match that starts it. Leo comes in and adds more wood to the fire to keep it going, to keep it burning. Then Sagittarius comes in, and that's a mutable fire sign, which means we're going to keep this going, but we're going to change and adapt as necessary, and we're going to bring in more people who connect to this philosophy so we can make it bigger. So this energy is really going to be activated throughout the end of July into the beginning of August. And I hope that there is something that will work for you to favorably take advantage of this energy. It's rare. It is rare. And it's about being your own unique voice, about expressing yourself in new ways, about sharing your authenticity more fully, and about bringing in people who connect with what you're offering and what you're doing so that you are part of a community. You know, this isn't about going it alone. This is about connecting and uniting and going forward with a common belief. So that's all happening. That gets started around July 29th and moves into the beginning of August, okay? On August 8th, the energy is again reactivated and Mercury goes direct August 8th. So whatever's happening on July 29th, August 8th is when you may feel the need to talk about it even more and to share it even more. So if you can just think about that a few weeks away, we're really supported in sharing more of our creative expression. If you're listening to this after the fact, look and see if something did get started at that time or if there was an idea that was incubating. You could be triggered to activate that again. These energies keep cycling around. There is no end to them. There just is an emphasis. They come into view more. So that is what's going on with the highlights, I want to say, of Mercury retrograde in Leo. We're being given a great time to connect within, to love ourselves more, to know that we're supported in being brave and sharing. A lot of us are doing a lot of new stuff right now, and I know that there's a lot of people, not necessarily people that I know, but energetically, who are willing to come out and be themselves more fully. I'm seeing it in so many ways, and it gets me excited because when we do that for ourselves, we support others in doing that too. It feels like it's this first step out to say, this is who I am, this is what I enjoy, this is what I want to share. And it can feel like you're the only one taking that first step, but there are so many who are taking that step right now because this is a time of dynamic change, and this is what it's about right now, is sharing your gifts, sharing your services, being open and available to the new opportunities that are coming in, making the most of your own personal expression. It's such a big theme right now. The energy of August promotes that too. And let's see, it's the 18th right now. In a few weeks I'll have up the August energy report. But I had all these energy reports come in, I think it was April. I can't remember now. But I had a download of every month, May, June, July, August, and September at the same time. And August energy is really about commitment. What are you committing to? What is your energy being pulled towards? So I'm sharing that now to have that in your mind, especially during Mercury retrograde, to reconsider and recreate what is your commitment. It could be, you could think of three things right now, or it could be one central tenet. But consider, what is your commitment? Because August is going to support you in that commitment as long as it connects to your authentic self. If it does not, if you are, if you're fooling yourself in any way, it will fall apart. Because authenticity is the name of the game right now. Having the courage to be you is what is divinely, divinely supported. So just a heads up of what lays ahead and where we're going with August. I'm looking at the clock, and it's almost time to go. So before we do that, I'm going to give you one other astrological tidbit here. And I want to share with you this new moon in Cancer. I think it's important. Every new moon and full moon, I post a review on the website, consciouscoolchic.com, and I share it on Facebook. And I talk about the new cycles and what cycle we're in and what's the focal point of energy right now. July 19th is the new moon in Cancer. Every new moon is a starting point of some energy, and it happens once a year for each astrological sign. So July 19th is the new moon in Cancer, which activates and starts the Cancerian energy more fully. It's interesting, though, when we have these new moons towards the end of an astrological cycle, the energy doesn't stick around as long. So, for example, we are at 26 degrees of Cancer. There's only 3 more degrees of Cancer until the sun shifts into Leo. So this new moon activates something, but it only stays in that energy for a few days until it moves into Leo. So we're starting something here with this energy. And Cancer enhances our emotional bodies, the ability to give and receive. It brings our attention to what we need in order to be nurtured. It's where we create our safe place in the world. It's our inner sanctuary. That energy is activated. However, we're also dealing with what is called a square to Libra. And this is asking us to be responsible and to look at relationships to determine what is out of balance and what we are giving or taking in excess. A square configuration is sort of like two cars coming into the intersection at the same time from opposing, basically like a T-square, a T-bone direction. So one's coming from the south and one's coming from the east, and they meet in the middle and the energies collide and they want to go in different directions. And what we're looking at here is determining, do the emotions lead or does our intelligence lead? Both are necessary and we need them to work together harmoniously. So we need to take the highest vibration of our emotional energy and how we feel safe and allow it to work with the highest expression of our intelligence and our need to relate. And we can't let one or the other dominate, because then we're going to have lessons, shall we say. This is about being mature and considering the other person's perspective and the other person's emotion while also taking into account our own. This new moon has a lot of energy at once. It's not just the typical sweet, loving side of Cancer. It's dynamic. It's emotions could be high. Emotions could be intense. People can move into some types of breakdowns or outbursts. So it's important to really take time for ourselves, to listen to our inner voices, to nourish ourselves, to love ourselves, to go into your own safe place as necessary, and to shut out the world if you need to at times. That's completely okay. It's part of the cycle right now. And like I said, if you do need to do that, know that, you know, the energy is going to shift when we move into Leo energy. So if you need a few days to be by yourself and to just get in tune with your own emotional process, you're really supported in doing that. And in fact, going internally to find your answers is going to be a better solution than connecting with a lot of the chaos and I'm going to say craziness that's circulating at this time. So really trust yourself. Really trust what you need. Listen to your intuitive leads and your emotional self right now. You can be very, very supported in that direction. And you're going to reemerge feeling more content, refreshed, and motivated to work with the strong Leo energy that wants you to express from your heart and create something that's uniquely you. So I'm getting the little ding in my ear that the show is about done. I thank you so much for listening. Wow, the time really flew. This was a fast hour. I hope this was beneficial and that you got some good information that came through. I got some good information too. It's always great to tune in to our higher teams to get our answers. I hope you have a wonderful week. And I will see you next week. There's another great show coming up about the spiritual purpose of the ego. This is all divine channeled messages. I loved these insights. So I hope you'll come back and listen to that one. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye.
Moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. I wish that I could.